This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gene Marks back from the road, my small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other distinguished publications. We're going to go on the road with Gene, however, because both of us have been measuring the small business economies of different parts of the country and finding surprising convergence of opinion. Gene, a very good evening to you. You've been to Palm Springs for the Monitoring Association. What did you learn? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Yeah, been traveling a lot, speaking to a lot of different groups over the past couple of weeks. So in Palm Springs, the Monitoring Association, this is a association that's made up of companies that implement alarm systems, you know, all around the country. It's a very competitive and big industry, not only alarm systems, but systems that track fire, that track, you know, warn you of a carbon monoxide. Think about it. You know, every building, every warehouse, every residential home, every apartment complex, they need this stuff. It's required by law.
Refrigerators, if you leave the door open.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you're not wrong. And so you can imagine, and this is a perfect example of the kind of places that I talk at, John, where you're like, you wouldn't think about this. And yet when you dig into it, you're like, wow, you know, this is a big industry. And it is a big industry. And there was a few hundred people there. And we talked about the economy and talked about, tech for the industry, as well as some of the bills that, you know, taxes and spending that may or may not affect them. They're impacted by, as you can imagine, construction. But then they're also impacted by regulations, particularly when their customers are required to upgrade farm systems. They're impacted by businesses that expand or build on their warehouses. They've had a strong year. Their past year, and this is throughout 2025. They're optimistic going into 2026. They see a potential buildup in construction and even home sales, which always means a turnover in alarm systems. They're mostly the economic data that I shared with them and the outlook for this industry is not bad. That was the first visit that I made over the past.
All right, let's go to Chicago because this is corrugated containers. They know what's coming and going. What do they say?
Softer, much softer. So these are the companies that make, boxes, packages, and containers that, you know, ship goods. A lot of them make these containers to be used for overseas shipping, which has been slow but steady. If you look at the Baltic Dry Index, John, which is an index of freight, it will show you that global shipping has been holding its own, although at levels below what it was post-COVID, of course. And then, of course, they make containers for people that are shipping large products and small products all around the country to domestic warehouses and domestic businesses. Their traffic has been a little bit lower. And again, I think we've talked about this before. I mean, they're not in a recession area. Their levels of volume is nothing like it was during 2009. Nothing like it was even during the pandemic when they hit, initially hit bottom and then, recovered. But it's been slower in the packaging and the container industry. So we'll see if that picks up.
Chief Building Supply, Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is housing.
Yeah, so this is a company that makes construction materials, building materials for the housing industry and also for commercial builders as well. This was an internal meeting in Albuquerque during their balloon fiesta week, John. If you ever have a interest in going to Albuquerque, go in October when they do their balloon. There's hundreds of balloons flying all over the city. It's fantastic. But their companies there were customers. They buy from Chief Builders and they buy building supplies. So they're affected by the construction industry itself. So again, these builders have been slow. But when you ask them and you pull them from around the room, you get very different answers. The different parts of the country are a lot busier. There were some builders in the room from New Jersey. And in South Jersey, there's construction going on all over the place. It's actually been very hectic. And there were builders there from Northern California that were saying things were slower. People were not building as much. Although overall you could take it that construction has been slowed, you really have to break it down to regions because there are certain regions that are hotter than others. South Carolina, by the way, North Carolina, pretty strong right now, as opposed to some places in the Midwest. So definitely differentiating opinions, but again, overall holding steady.
Did the builders or the ones associated with building, did they speak of the interest rates?
Yeah, what they're waiting for, and I wrote a piece just this past week, John, for The Hill, where I'm predicting, and you know, and I bet you and I will talk about this in the months to come, of a coming real estate boom. And I believe that, and I believe as interest rates continue to trickle down, and we just saw inflation was holding steady at about 3%. Remember, the mortgage rates are based on the treasury markets, and treasury markets based on future inflation expectations, and that was good news for for interest rates today. And I do expect that once interest rates, in my opinion, once they get below 5.5% mortgage rates, I do feel that it's going to unlock a lot of pent up demand for that industry. I think there are people sitting on 2% mortgages that aren't really apt to sell right now, but might consider if they get a 5% mortgage. The differentiation won't be so much that they can't turn over their house and move along. So the reason why I say all that is I talked about that at the meeting about, they're holding steady, a lot of these companies. But as interest rates, again, start moving downwards, they are also of the opinion that it will have a dramatic effect on the construction industry, dramatic, because it has been in such doldrum over the past few years now that a lot of pent-up demand will drive a lot more sales in their business. So that was the takeaway I had from
to San Antonio, Texas. This one I'm most interested in, Gene, because I have a measure of this similar business in Pennsylvania. What did you find from the Precision Machine Parts Association in Texas?
Busy. These are machine part manufacturers. They make a lot of custom job shops and builders of machine for machinery and equipment. So you have machinery and equipment makers, and they're making their pieces of equipment, and they need to outsource and have specialized parts made so that their equipment runs. And then they sell the equipment to manufacturers who use that equipment to make stuff. So they're part of that whole ecosystem. And for the most part, people in the audience there have been pretty busy. You hear about the slowdown in manufacturing. Well, what I'm seeing and what they're telling me is that, yeah, things have been a little, have been slow manufacturing wise. I mean, again, at sort of like this, not big expansion, not big contraction, but just sort of middle of the road. But they're taking orders because a lot of manufacturers are gearing up to bring a lot of business here in the U.S. domestically. Many manufacturers are expecting an onshoring boom, and they're starting to build out properties, taking advantage of the new tax deduction for manufacturers, and they're buying equipment and retooling their equipment and getting these specialized parts in order because they do believe that there'll be more demand domestically from companies that were previously buying from China. That happens. That's what, that was one of the points of Trump's tariff plan. We'll see if that comes true. But I think there are many manufacturers that are betting on that happening.
I report from Pennsylvania, Central Pennsylvania, a precision parts company with 300 customers from airlines down to farmers, full of business all the time. Yeah. Order book 6 months, 9 months out, filled up. Lots of need for precision parts workers. That's the guts of the machine to have to order parts that you could easily delay if things look grim in some fashion.
True. I mean, and by the way, their challenges are getting the parts for their parts that they're manufacturing. They still have challenges with, with cash flow, and they have challenges with finding labor. They're having challenges affording health insurance. I'm not saying like life is rosy for a lot of these guys, but yeah, the work is out there. And again, the other thing is, which I said, earlier, in the construction industry, is even in the manufacturing business, a lot of it does depend on the region that you're in and your customer base. I mean, if you're selling into certain industries that are slower, you're going to be impacted by that. And so there are a few people in the room that were not showing a strong activity this year only because the industries that they were selling into, for machine parts or whatever that makes things for housing, for example, were a little bit slower this year. So, again, tough to generalize everybody. But for the most part, if I'm going to be asked to be generalized, these machine parts manufacturers, they were, they've been busy this year.
Before we go to credit, what did you hear of tariffs? thumbs up, thumbs down, we're not sure, later on, get back to us? What did you hear?
Very muted, and a great question. So when I speak to these groups, John, I usually have like planning meetings with the organizers because I have a lot of things to stuff into an hour. And I always ask them, like, before I even like get in front of this group, do you want me to spend 15, 20 minutes on tariffs and, you know, and some thoughts on navigating your way around it? And for all of those places that I just mentioned, John, the builders, the building materials places, the corrugated boxes, the machine parts people, all the meeting organizers said, yeah, well, our members are indirectly impacted by tariffs. So they're seeing some increase in their prices. But in all honesty, there's not a lot they can do. You know, it's not like they're, these are smaller domestic companies. There's not a lot of people that are buying huge amounts of goods from overseas. That doesn't mean they're not buying from domestic sources that bought from overseas and therefore are passing down prices. But that, for the most part, has been their strategy. It's just, you know, they're seeing some price increases. They're absorbing them, or they're doing their best to cut overhead. In some cases, they're just passing the price increases down to their customers. But it's been muted. It hasn't been a major impact on any of these industries yet. They're nervous about it because they don't want to see it spike or go out of control. But so far, so good.
I contribute one odd detail that I can't quite solve. I order bulbs every year about this time of year for planting, for springtime. Daffodils, lilies, allium, tulips, of course. Variety of bulbs from a specialty bulb maker here in Connecticut. The bill arrived. They only charge you when they ship. And at the bottom was tariffs, 6%. Yeah. Have you seen that elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually recommend that. I mean, this is why I ask these associations, do you want me to talk about tariffs? Because I've got a lot of thoughts and advice that I've learned from smart people how to navigate their way around. And one of them, by the way, I've got like 10 or 12 different pieces, like recommendations. I like it. And I've been recommending to clients to put a separate line item, just like your bulb people, on their invoice. Like it's, you know, addition for tariffs, you know. I realize sometimes we don't like to see that when we go to a restaurant and somebody puts a line item on for health insurance for their employees. That kind of annoys the customers. But in this situation, putting a separate line item tells your customers that, hey, you know, this price increase, you're paying more because this is the impact the tariffs is having on the prices. So it's not our fault. This is just what's happening.
They could have folded it into the cost of the bulb.
They could have, but by doing that, you know, they're trying to be as transparent with you as possible and letting you know that if it weren't for these tariffs, your price would have been a lot lower. So we just want you to know that. Secondly, John, this bulb place, I don't know what the accounting system they're using, but it's a lot easier when you separate the cost of the tariff on your invoice, because then you can, you know, if the tariff issue gets resolved or goes away, you can pull it off your invoice without having to disrupt your entire accounting system by increasing prices. And I bet that might be another reason why they're doing that.
Cornerstone Credit Union League, Kansas City. How's everything in Kansas City?
Well, this was from the Kansas City region, Kansas region as well. And there, you know, that conversation was about credit and financing. Credit unions are trying to expand to serve more small businesses. Not only do they tell me, John, but as I work with clients around the country, I have to say that the vast majority of the small companies that I deal with local banks. They still like their community and their independent banks, and yes, even credit unions. And they prefer them, a lot of small businesses, over the Citibanks and the Wells Fargos and the big banks, for obvious reasons. It's just a more personal relationship. So these credit unions have been finding they've been holding steady, and they are, you know, it's been a tough year for mortgages and a tough year for loans to give out in the sense because of higher interest rates. But again, it's been easier than the past couple of years because interest rates have been coming down and they've seen more activity. Their biggest challenge is just technology, John. AI is right now and will have a dramatic impact on their business, and they're all trying to figure out how to get their arms around that.
Let's turn to AI. Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer, other distinguished publications, including Forbes, when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.